All right. Hello, everyone, and very happy Sunday evening. I only have 30 minutes, so I'm just going to start with a fairly short. By the guiding light, and we're starting a session tonight in the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi. We're on page 55, and this section is called Bhakti and Jnana. Bhakti would be the path of devotion and surrender. And jnana would be the path of inquiry. So bhakti and jnana. So the devotee is referring to the teacher. Outlines a way in the heart by prostrating and being honored as the Lord himself. Is this the right path leading to salvation? Is it not easier thus to adore Bhagavan in whatever meets the mind than to seek the supramental, the mental, who am I? You see God, you see God. You first think of God for seeing God around you. Keep God in mind becomes Dhyana. And Dhyana is for Dhyana is Dhyana. Okay, the name of God is devotion. Repetition of a mantra or the name of God with devotion. It's also known as meditation through deliberate mental effort. So again, Ramana says, when you see God in all, do you think of God or do you not? You must certainly think of God for seeing God all around you. Be in and of yourself. Apart from yourself. God, on the true self, it is immaterial, for the goal is the same. You cannot by any means escape yourself. Yourself is God, not but yourself. This is the method of instruction. But even for this practice, there must be the seer or thinker. Who is he? So it's kind of interesting to me. Every now and then I'll get an email from someone. In fact, I just got one a couple weeks ago. who studies Ramana Maharshi and somehow comes across the teachings of Inner Ramana, and they will write to me and they will say, these things in this book, this isn't Ramana Maharshi's teachings. And the way that I respond to that is I say, well, that's why it's called the Inner Ramana. I say it's really the inner guidance as Ramana Maharshi. And that I don't get debating with them. But I don't understand where they're coming from. You know, one of the things that was taught, as you know, in the teachings of Inner Ramana was the mantra, I am that. And it even says it's to be said with deep devotion, right? Whenever it comes into your mind to say it, to say it. And right here, we have Ramana Maharshi with that teaching. It's interesting, however, that Ramana Maharshi does end the teaching by saying, even for this practice, there must be a seer or thinker. Who is he? And, of course, if you look at the teachings of Inner Ramana, although first what's taught is surrender, and second what's taught is the mantra, third, the final teaching is self-inquiry. As I was reading this answer, it reminded me somewhat of Paul Brunton's book, which we read from this morning, The Short Path. And, of course, as I mentioned, Paul Brunton was a devotee of Ramana Maharshi. And he talked about the short path being keeping focused on God all of the time. You know, contemplating God all of the time. Making the choice to be that, to be God, rather than to be identified with the ego. He talked about making the choice to identify with the God self, which he calls the over-self, with the God self, instead of with the ego self. So although self-inquiry clearly was a teaching of Ramana Maharshi, it wasn't the only teaching. I mentioned last week that Ramana Maharshi taught both the path of devotion, or the path of surrender, which are really the same path, and the path of self-inquiry. In fact, he says the two paths are equal. He actually, whenever he speaks about the two, he never even says that self-inquiry is higher. He says the two paths are equal. And in the teachings of Inner Ramana, I was told the words were something like, as my student, I ask you to practice both the path of devotion and the path of self-inquiry. So again, this answer is all about focusing on God all of the time. I used the word this morning, concentration, right? Having every thought focused on God. Seeing God in everyone and yourself. And he said, have to see God, who is all pervasive. And Ramana Maharshi says, listen to this answer, okay? Ding, 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 ding. This is the question again. Great answer. How to see God, who is all pervasive? And Ramana Maharshi says, to see God is to be God. That's exactly what we spoke about this morning, isn't it? To see God, to be God. Nisargadatta Maharaj said, knowing is being. Right? You know something when you be it. You know truth by being the truth. To see God is to be God. There is no all apart from God for him to pervade. He alone is. A devotee asks, should we read the Gita now and then? Of course, referring to the Bhagavad Gita. And Ramana Maharshi says, always. Right? Should we read the Gita now and then? Ramana Maharshi says, always. And there are certain books. You know, I could probably make a list, but there are certain books that I find to be, in my humble opinion, the most powerful spiritual books written, and I do like to read them over and over again. One of those books is the Bhagavad Gita. Another one of those books is the Tao Te Ching, Another one of those books is the one I'm holding, The Spiritual Teaching of Ramana Maharshi. Another one of those books is I Am That by Nisargadatta Maharaj. Another one of those books is Michael Singer's The Untethered Soul. Right? These books are incredible, and if we read them often, they keep us on the straight and narrow. You know, Jesus spoke in the Bible about the straight and narrow path that went directly into the kingdom of God. It wasn't the wide path that led to destruction, but it was the straight and the narrow path, right? The straight and the narrow path is being focused on truth without distraction. And, you know, one thing that I love about the Bhagavad Gita is the Bhagavad Gita, to me, I don't think just to me, it's called Karma Yoga. And really what the Bhagavad Gita does is it encourages you to focus only on God, regardless of what your script is. So, you know, regardless of, you know, and of course in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's script is to lead people to war, right? To be a kind of like a general, a soldier, but kind of like a general. And, you know, each of us has a different script, has a different life, a life that we just have been given. And the Bhagavad Gita is all about living that life, not avoiding that life, living that life while keeping your mind absorbed on God. And, in fact, the Bhagavad Gita is really where the word concentration comes from. It's probably the earliest time that concentration was taught as a spiritual practice. Concentration being keeping your mind on God, seeing all things as God, trusting that all things are perfect, right? So again, should we read the Gita now and then? And Ramana Maharshi says, always. And then a devotee asks, what is the relation between jnana and bhakti? Again, that would be self-inquiry and the path of devotion and surrender. Ramana Maharshi says, the eternal, unbroken, natural state of abiding in the self is jnana. To abide in the self, you must love the self. God is really the self. Love of self is of God, and that bhakti, jnana, are thus one and the same. So when we practice self-inquiry, he says to practice self-inquiry is to abide in the self and to love the self. So when we practice self-inquiry, what happens, of course, is that the attention goes to something. Like let's pretend like I'm worried about my dog. I'm not worried about my dog, but certainly, you know, an average person would be, because there's a lot going on with her right now. today she hasn't eaten in a few days, and so today I made her ground beef and rice and scrambled egg and mix it together, and she did eat it. But three times while eating, she fell into her food. You know, she's having, and when I came home today, she had been laying down here in my office, and she couldn't get up. I have this thing called a lead. It's really a lift that helps lift your dog. I had to use it to get her up because she couldn't get up on her own. So there's a lot going on with her. So let's pretend like I have some worry thoughts that come into my mind about Jamie. The way self-inquiry would work, let me think of a worry thought. Okay, what if because of her condition, what if the kennel won't take her? You know, I have a couple of trips coming up and I need to be able to put her in the kennel. What if they don't take her because of her condition right now? So that's the worry thought. When the worry thought comes into the mind, the way self-inquiry works is I ask, who sees this thought? What sees this thought? What am I? And I turn my attention to the self. And then I remain with the attention in the self. And so self-inquiry is a tool that allows us to abide in the self. Now, it's interesting because Ramana Maharshi says, to abide in the self, you must love the self. Well, that means, at least to me, that I need to love the self more than worrying about my dog or any other type of thoughts that may come in. Think about that for a moment. I have to love the self. I have to want to give attention to the self more than I want to give attention to my worries. And really, that's loving the true self more than the false self. Because the reason, if I want to give attention to my worries, the reason I want to give attention to my worries is because I want to protect the false self and its will, its desires, its reputation, you know, everything about it. So we could argue that in every moment, based on what we're doing with our attention, we are either loving the false self or loving the true self. And self-inquiry is a practice that we engage in when we have chosen, when we have decided to love the true self. And then whenever we see the attention habitually going to the false self's thoughts, like worrying about the dog, we use self-inquiry to return our attention and therefore our love to the true self. Now let's look at this answer again. Again, the question was, what is the relation between jnana and bhakti? And Ramana Maharshi says, the eternal, unbroken, natural state of abiding in the true self is jnana. To abide in the true self, you must love the true self. And then he says, since God is verily the self, love of the self is love of God, and that is bhakti. Jnana and bhakti are thus one and the same. So it's a slight difference that isn't a difference at all. In that with bhakti, there is devotion as if it's devotion for an other. You know, so like if I am surrendered to the inner Ramana, right? Like I actually wear a picture of Ramana around my neck every day as a reminder of my purpose. And when I'm surrendered to the inner Ramana, when I'm looking at my picture of Ramana and contemplating my own decisions, my own spiritual decisions, and my commitment to them, because I'm focused on Ramana, that would be bhakti. Or if I was focused on Jesus, or focused on Buddha, or focused on Holy Spirit, or focused on the idea of God, that is bhakti. But the interesting thing is, if you go deep enough into your devotion to the divine other, what you always find is that that divine other is the self, which is what you are as well. In fact, in NTI, as you read NTI forward, you will notice that there are many, many times when the Holy Spirit says, I am you. You are me. Right at that time, I seemed to be communing with the Holy Spirit, a divine other, but it was always telling me, I am you. You are me. In fact, Ramana talked about this in the teachings of Inner Ramana. Let me read this brief message. It's called The Grace of the Guru. Ramana says, the teacher has come, and the teacher has come at the request of the student. Although the student did not consciously ask for this form of the teacher, meaning Ramana Maharshi, because up until this point, my focus had always been a Christian focus, like on Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, right? So when I said a prayer asking for something to take me to the next step, I never imagined that this, you know, this symbol of a Hindu guru would show up for me. So the teacher has come, and the teacher has come at the request of the student. Although the student did not consciously ask for this form of the teacher, this form has been given because this form is a match to the heart of the student. Do not doubt that the teacher and student are one. The teacher merely speaks for the student that she may see her own heart more clearly. Again, do not doubt that the teacher and student are one. The teacher merely speaks for the student that she may see her own heart more clearly. It is as if I have come to abide in your heart for a time. I have lit a campfire there, and I sit by that fire singing the songs of the heart. But that is only so you can hear yourself more clearly and recognize yourself above the chatter of the mind, so you may return to you there in the center of the heart. This is the grace of the guru. I light a little fire to shine a light on your home. But when you come, you light the chamber fully, for you are the light that is home. So every now and then in the non-dual world, there's a little bit of snobbery. I suppose there is on every spiritual path. So every now and then on the non-dual world, what will happen is you will hear people say that self-inquiry, that is a better path than the path of devotion or surrender. Because in devotion or surrender, you are surrendered to an other. And with the path of self-inquiry, there is no other. Therefore, the path of self-inquiry is perfect non-duality, where the path of devotion is not perfect non-duality. But what we hear Ramana Maharshi saying is that they lead to the same destination. Ultimately, they are the same. In fact, the only qualifier as to whether they will lead to the destination or not is you, the student, how deeply you give yourself to it. If you give yourself to self-inquiry and awareness watching awareness fully, that will lead you to self-realization. If you give yourself to devotion and surrender fully, that will lead you to self-realization. So it's not really that one path is better than the other path. It's just that some students are more committed than other students. And that's really what makes all the difference in the world. So again, what is the relation between jnana and bhakti? Ramana Maharshi says, the eternal, unbroken, natural state of abiding in the true self is jnana. To abide in the self, you must love the self. Since by verily love of the self is love of God, and that is bhakti. Jnana and bhakti are thus one and the same. And I won't be able to go any further because the next answer is too long and I only have a couple minutes left for this, and we'll begin here next week. And I'll release the mic a little early so that we can all get ready to listen to our satsang interview. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining with me tonight. Bye.